When will that opportune moment come to us? When there will be shivering of the body as soon as we chant Lord Gauranga's name, while chanting Hare Krishna? When will there be tears in the eyes? When will I obtain the mercy of Lord Nityananda Chandra? When, by his mercy, will the desire for material enjoyment become very insignificant? When the mind is completely purified, being freed from material anxieties and desires, then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan and the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, and then my spiritual life will be successful. When shall I be very much eager to study the books left by the six Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami? By their instruction, I shall be able to properly understand the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. My only aspiration is to attain the lotus feet of the six Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami. Narottam Das constantly prays to attain their lotus feet. So, today is the most auspicious day of the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I'm not going to focus too much on his appearance, actually. I think that's already understood. I'm going to talk more something about the extraordinary mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are so many incidents which could be mentioned because the entire pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are full of such incidents of his expressing his extraordinary compassion and mercy to his associates and to all kinds of people that he came into contact with. Just to give some idea, some of the extraordinary recipients of his mercy, just as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who is a great scholar in Jagannath Puri, he thought himself fit to instruct Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, his first advice to Mahaprabhu was not to take sannyas, or not to remain a sannyasi, that he'd never make it. He was too good looking. So he advised him, you know, that he should give it up. But he began to instruct him in various ways, and finally, Lord Chaitanya never said anything. So finally he asked, you know, why is it you don't say anything? And you don't like my explanations? And Lord Chaitanya said, I can't understand your explanations. He said, well, maybe you'd like to explain the Vedanta Sutra to me then. So Lord Chaitanya did. And at the end of that explanation, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya not only surrendered to him, became his follower, but he composed 100 verses called the Sarvabhauma Sataka. And Lord Chaitanya gave him the benediction that these 100 verses, anyone who chants them, will attain pure devotional service to me. So, this is one example. Then there's the Benares Sannyasis, who had escaped the network of mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So I'm going to talk about them at some length in a few minutes. And also, King Prajaparudra received some extraordinary mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagai Madhai, Vasudev Dutta, simply for praying for the deliverance of all living beings, Lord Chaitanya mercifully granted him that wish. Haridas Thakur, in the same mood as Bhishma, asked Lord Chaitanya to be present before him at the time of his departure, and Lord Chaitanya did appear there and granted him all, fulfilled all of his desires. At the time of the Mahaprakash, the ecstatic Lord Chaitanya granted every wish that the devotees came to him with, practically. He gave them darshan of all the different kinds of forms that they most wanted to see. He gave them all kinds of benedictions. When the great scholar, the Digvijay, came to Navadvip, he came there to defeat all opposition. And yet he ended up not only surrendering to Mahaprabhu, but becoming a great devotee. Shuklambara, a great renunciate, who begged from door to door, and who was actually Sudama Vipra, Lord Chaitanya snatched, he used to collect from door to door madukari. He would collect some grains wherever he went, some chipped rice and various other kinds of rice preparations, which wasn't considered to be very elegant food stuff. But when Lord Chaitanya met up with him, he was so pleased with his devotion that he kept snatching handfuls of this rice out of his bag. And just as he had when Sudama Vipra had come to him when he was Krishna. And at that time, he made this statement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this statement, that devotion is the life of all rules. So the ultimate rule is devotion. Sometimes we talk a great deal about the rules and regulations, but he said that devotion was the ultimate rule. So there are so many recipients of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. But I'm going to start off with, does anyone know who is the toughest group? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was trying to rescue everyone. That was his aim. So, but there was one group that had escaped, or actually there were several groups, but one group was the hardest cell of all. Anybody know? No, even more, even worse than them. Yes, the Mayavadis, especially the Mayavadis, the followers of Prakasananda Saraswati in Benares. They even had a special classification. They were the toughest of all Mayavadis, practically. So I'm going to read a little something from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 7. And just to say a little something about this seventh chapter, before the Chaitanya Charitamrita was ever published, Prabhupada published the seventh chapter of Adi Lila. It was a book called Lord Chaitanya and his five features. Five features of Lord Chaitanya. So, this, was it aspects? Okay, aspects, features. So, this was such an important chapter because here in this chapter he described the extraordinary mercy of Lord Chaitanya on these Benares sannyasis. And it also described the importance of the Panchatattva, these five features of the Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Garadhar Shivasati Kaur Bhaktivinoda. Before one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you're supposed to chant this Panchatattva mantra always. And all auspiciousness is generated by this chanting. So this is from the Adi Lila, chapter 7, text, starting with text 29. Some of it I'll read, some of it I'll summarize. But the part that I'm especially focused on is the way Lord Chaitanya preached to these Benares sannyasis. It was an extraordinary, intelligent, and brilliant exposition. So, there's a description here. It says, the impersonalist, fruitive workers, false logicians, blasphemers, non-devotees, and lowest among the student community are very expert in avoiding the Krishna consciousness movement. And therefore, the inundation of Krishna consciousness cannot touch them. Seeing that the Mayavadis and others were fleeing, Lord Chaitanya thought, I wanted everyone to be immersed in this inundation of love of Godhead, but some of them have escaped. Therefore, I shall devise a trick to drown them also. And purport, Prabhupada writes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to invent a way to capture the Mayavadis and others who did not take an interest in the Krishna consciousness movement. And Prabhupada begins his purport by saying, here is an important point. So we can try to hear this attentively. He says, this is the symptom of an acharya. An acharya who comes for the service of the Lord cannot be expected to conform to a stereotype, for he must find the ways and means by which Krishna consciousness may be spread. Sometimes jealous persons criticize the Krishna consciousness movement because it engages equally both boys and girls in distributing love of Godhead. Not knowing that boys and girls in countries like Europe and America mix very freely, these fools and rascals criticize the boys and girls in Krishna consciousness for intermingling. But these rascals should consider, Prabhupada didn't mince words very much here, these rascals should consider that one cannot suddenly change a community's social customs. However, since the boys and the girls are being trained to become preachers, those girls are not ordinary girls, but are as good as their brothers who are preaching Krishna consciousness. Therefore, to engage both boys and girls in fully transcendental activities is a policy intended to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. These jealous fools who criticize the intermingling of boys and girls will simply have to be satisfied with their own foolishness, because they cannot think of how to spread Krishna consciousness by adopting ways and means that are favorable for this purpose. Then in succeeding verses it says, thus the Lord accepted the sannyas order of life after full consideration. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes this. He says, Mayavadis consider devotional service to be among fruitive activities. According to them, when Bhagavata's devotees are purified by philosophical speculation, they will come to the real point of liberation. Those who speculate in this way regarding devotional service are called kutarkikas, false logicians. And those who consider devotional service to be fruitive activity are called karmanishtas. Those who criticize devotional service are called nindakas, blasphemers. Similarly, non-devotees who consider devotional activities to be material are called pashandis. Sometimes pashandis also translated as atheists. And scholars with a similar viewpoint are called adhamma padhuyas. So these kutarkikas, nindakas, pashandis, and adhamma padhuyas all avoided the benefit of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement of developing love of Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt compassion for them. So these persons that we sometimes criticize or write off as hopeless cases, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was simply plotting and thinking how he could capture them as well. And Prabhupada says that he felt compassion, and it is for this reason that he decided to accept the sannyas order, for by seeing him as a sannyasi, they would offer him respects. So in other words, his motive for taking sannyas was not to get respect for himself, but to cause others to give respect for their benefit. Sometimes people take sannyas for other reasons, and I won't go into those, but this is the reason. If you're going to take it at all, it should be to benefit others only. So it says that, said thus, the students, infidels, fruitive workers, and critics all came to surrender under the lotus feet of the Lord. And he excused them all, and they merged into the ocean of devotional service. For no one can escape the unique loving work network of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it says, all were converted into devotees of Lord Chaitanya, even the Malechas and Yavanas. Only the impersonalist followers of Shankaracharya evaded him. So he was able to capture everyone. But the followers of Shankaracharya, he couldn't capture them. So he was in anxiety. Prabhupada writes, in this verse it is clearly indicated that although Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted Muslims and other Malechas into devotees, the impersonalist followers of Shankaracharya could not be converted. After accepting the renounced order of life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu converted many Karmanishtas who were addicted to fruitive activities. Many great logicians like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Nindakas, blasphemers like Prakashananda Saraswati, Pashandis, non-devotees like Jagai and Madhai, and Adhama Padhuyas, degraded students like Mukunda and his friends. So Mukunda was put into that category even though he was an eternal associate of Mahaprabhu's. But that type of mentality where you just hang out with everybody and bat around different kinds of ideas about transcendence. So they were considered to be the degraded students. He says, all of them gradually became devotees of the Lord, and even the Muslims, the Patans. But the worst offenders, the impersonalists, were extremely difficult to convert, for they very tactfully escaped the devices of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, when Lord Chaitanya was in Benares, he was staying at the house of Tapan Mishra. And they were well aware, Tapan Mishra and Sanatan Goswami was also there. And they were very much aware that Lord Chaitanya was being criticized everywhere. They were saying things about him like, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an illiterate sannyasi, and he doesn't know his real function. He's guided by his sentiments, and he wanders around in the company of other sentimentalists. They classified the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as fanatics or sentimentalists. They didn't take them seriously and thought, he's not a real sannyasi. And they were hearing this kind of stuff on practically a daily basis, and they were very agitated. So they were speaking to the Lord about this. How long can we tolerate this? We should rather give up our lives than hear these things. So Lord Chaitanya just smiled. And he went off to for some time to Mathura, and then he came back, and he was psychologically, and of course he was always ready, but he just sort of was prepared at that point to meet with them. And just as his two followers, Chaitapan Mishra and Sanatana Goswami, were explaining how badly they felt to hear these things, this Brahmin showed up at the door. And he said, "I'd like to invite you to my home. I'm going to invite all of the sannyasis, Benares, and it would be greatest pleasure for me if you would also accept my invitation." Now, ordinarily, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would never accept an invitation to associate with these Mayavadi sannyasis. But because this person was a real devotee who was requesting him to come, he agreed to go. So he went there, and when he arrived, he washed his feet by the door. There was an arrangement for washing your feet. And then he sat down in that place. And they were, so the other sannyasis were a little shocked. He's sitting with the shoes. Now, this isn't good. And so they were looking over, they were all looking at him. And as they all looked at him, as all of their attention was focused on them, he exhibited this brilliant effulgence. It was such a brilliant effulgence that they were all transfixed. And of course, you know, Mayavadis are very attracted to effulgence. For them, that's kind of the ultimate. So when Lord Chaitanya exhibited all this effulgence, they were impressed. So then they felt, oh. So they immediately, Prakasananda Saraswati said, "Oh, please don't sit there, come here." And he sat him very respectfully in the assembly. And then he began to question, you know, "Why is it you associate with these low-class fanatics and do all this dancing and chanting? Like, this is not the business of a sannyasi. The business of a sannyasi is to study Vedanta and to perform austerities. You know, that's what you should do as a sannyasi." And then Lord Chaitanya begins his explanation. Now, here's the part that I think is... First of all, note how in the beginning, when they ask him why he's doing this, he more or less accepts their criticism, apparently. And here's what he says. He says, "My dear sir, kindly hear the reason. My spiritual master considered me a fool." So basically he was saying to them, "What you thought was right. I'm a fool. And my spiritual master recognized that I'm a fool. And so therefore he chastised me. He said, 'You are a fool. You're not qualified to study Vedanta philosophy. And therefore you must always chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the essence of all mantras or Vedic hymns.'" So in other words, he was saying, "I'm not studying Vedanta, not because I don't want to, but I got a different instruction. What can I do? I got this other kind of instruction from my spiritual master." So he presented himself in such a humble way, and he kind of deflected all their criticism, saying, "Well, what do you want me to..." And they had already recognized that Keshava Bharati, his guru, was an exalted member of their sampradaya. They'd already glorified his spiritual master. So he's saying, "Well, my spiritual master told me to do this, so what could they say?" He had them, you see. What could they say? They've already said his spiritual master was great. Now he's saying, "Well, my spiritual master told me to do this." So he goes on. He says, "Simply by chanting..." This is his guru speaking. "Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one can obtain freedom from material existence. Indeed, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one will be able to see the lotus feet of the Lord. In this age of Kali, there is no religious principle other than the chanting of the holy name, which is the essence of all Vedic hymns. This is the purport of all scriptures." So now his guru has said, this is the purport of all scriptures. So this is going to be, you know, interesting to see what they do with this. "After describing the potency of the Hare Krishna Maha mantra, my spiritual master taught me another verse, advising it to always keep it within my throat. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nascheva, 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 Gatiranyata. For spiritual progress in this age of Kali, there is no alternative. There is no alternative. There is no alternative to the holy name, the holy name, the holy name of the Lord. Since I received this order from my spiritual master..." It's just, you just have to admire the cleverness, the brilliance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's completely got them now. "These are the instructions of your spiritual master. I admit that I'm a fool, but this is what I've been doing, and you know, that's the situation." So he says, I always chant the holy name, but I thought that by chanting and chanting the holy name, I had been bewildered. While chanting the holy name of the Lord in pure ecstasy, I lose myself, and thus I laugh, I cry, dance, and sing, just like a madman. Collecting my patience, therefore, I began to consider that chanting the holy name of Krishna had covered all my spiritual knowledge. I saw that I had become mad by chanting the holy name. And I immediately I submitted this at the lotus feet of my spiritual master. So he said, you know, I was thinking the same thing as you. That this is kind of madness or insanity. So I went to my spiritual master and I put it to him. You know, look, I'm acting like this crazy person. So he submitted this at the lotus feet of his spiritual master. He says, my dear Lord, what kind of mantra have you given me? I've become mad simply by chanting this Maha mantra. Chanting the holy name in ecstasy, it causes me to dance, laugh, and cry. When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and then began to speak. It is the nature of the Hare Krishna mantra, Maha mantra, that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstasy for Krishna. Religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation are known as the four goals of life, but before love of Godhead, the fifth and highest goal, these appear as insignificant as straw in the street. For a devotee who has actually developed bhava, the pleasure derived from dharma, artha, kama, and moksha appears like a drop in the presence of the sea. The conclusion of all revealed scriptures is that one should awaken his dormant love of Godhead. You are greatly fortunate to have already done so. Now, this is still his spiritual master advising him. It is a characteristic of love of Godhead that by nature it induces transcendental symptoms in one's body and makes one more and more greedy to achieve the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. When one actually develops love of Godhead, he naturally sometimes cries, sometimes laughs, sometimes chants, and sometimes runs here and there just like a madman. Perspiration, trembling, standing on end of one's bodily hairs, tears, faltering voice, fading complexion, madness, melancholy, patience, pride, joy, and humility. These are various natural symptoms of ecstatic love of Godhead, which causes a devotee to dance and float in an ocean of transcendental bliss while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. It is very good, my dear child, that you have attained the supreme goal of life by developing love of Godhead. Thus, you have pleased me very much, and I am very much obliged to you. My dear child, continue dancing, chanting, and performing sankirtan in association with devotees. Furthermore, go out and preach the value of chanting Krishna Nam, for by this process you will be able to deliver all fallen souls. Saying this, my spiritual master taught me a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. So since this is the essence, you have to listen carefully. This is the essence of all the Bhagavatam's instructions. And he recited this verse again and again, he says. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants like a madman, not caring for outsiders. I firmly believe in these words of my spiritual master, and therefore I always chant the holy names of the Lord alone and in the association of devotees. The holy name of Lord Krishna sometimes causes me to chant and dance, and therefore I chant and dance. Please do not think that I intentionally do it. I do it automatically. So again, he's saying, it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I don't mean to do it, but as soon as I start chanting, it just takes over. So it says, compared to the ocean of transcendental bliss that one tastes by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, the pleasure derived from impersonal Brahman realization, Brahmananda, is like the shallow water in a canal. My dear Lord, O Master of the Universe, since I have directly seen you, my transcendental bliss has taken the shape of a great ocean. Being situated in that ocean, I now realize that all other so-called happiness is like the water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. After hearing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the Maryavadi sannyasis were moved. Their minds changed, and thus they spoke with pleasing words. So they were They were already completely overwhelmed by the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just his presence and his effulgence. They were ready to listen to anything he had to say. But they wanted to know. They said, but what's wrong with studying Vedanta Sutra? And so Lord Chaitanya said, well, if you'd like, I can speak something on Vedanta Sutra. So at this point, they were ready to hear anything. So I'm not going to try to summarize all of Lord Chaitanya's remarks, but leave it except to say that he astounded them, completely astounded them with his explanations. And when he was finished, he spoke on the basis of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, the three different approaches. And they said, dear sir, you are Vedic knowledge personified and directly Narayan himself. Kindly excuse us for the offenses we previously committed by criticizing you. So they begged Lord Chaitanya's difference. And it began to chant the holy name. And actually later on, Lord Chaitanya took them all out on Sankirtan. They chanted and danced in ecstasy with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The hardest audience, the most difficult, hard-hearted, you know, hearts like rocks. And yet he was able to melt them. And the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, in the introduction, there's some nice statements by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's words, he says, it was impossible even for learned scholars to oppose Chaitanya for a long time. In other words, some of them would put up some initial resistance, but they couldn't maintain it. It said, for there was some spell in him which touched their hearts and made them weep for their spiritual improvement. So, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says that Lord Chaitanya created a spell. You know, sometimes we talk about people casting spells. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, he had that capacity. I mean, he was, of course he had that capacity. But he cast a spell over these persons. And they were prepared to listen to anything he had to say and do anything he said that they should do. So it says that he said there was some spell in him which touched their hearts and made them weep for their spiritual improvement. The sannyasis of Benares Sindh fell at the feet of Chaitanya and asked for his grace. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then preached pure bhakti and instilled into their hearts spiritual love for Krishna, which obliged them to give up sectarian feelings. The whole population of Benares, on this wonderful conversion of the sannyasis, turned into Vaishnavas, and they made a master Sankirtan with their new Lord. So this is an example of how Lord Chaitanya, of course we know that he was very merciful to everyone, but even those who are the most confirmed, hard-hearted, atheistic class of people, he was able to melt. Another example of his mercy is in his dealings with King Prataparudra. King Prataparudra, as you, some of you, most of you probably know, is the king of in a Jagannath Puri. He was the king. And he was greatly devoted to Lord Chaitanya. But because Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi, he didn't feel it was proper for him to meet with the king. So, this mercy or this compassionate nature is certainly always expressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it's also very much expressed by his followers to an even deeper and greater extent, because they are simply channels for the mercy of the Lord. And so they arranged for the king to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dressed as a mendicant. So when he went before Mahaprabhu, he began chanting all these wonderful verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he heard these verses, he didn't know who the king was, at least apparently. Of course, as the Supreme Lord, he certainly knew it was. But since the king had appeared before him, and also previously the king had swept the road in front of Lord Jagannath, perform menial service for the Lord, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken note of this. So, when the king was chanting all these verses, Lord Chaitanya was very pleased, and he said, you have given me invaluable gems, but I have nothing to give you in return. Therefore, I'm simply embracing you. So he was embracing the king, and then they both began to chant this verse over and over again. And the verse was from the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. My Lord, the nectar of your words and the descriptions of your activities are the life and soul of those who are always aggrieved in this material world. These narrations are transmitted by exalted personalities, and they eradicate all sinful reactions. Whoever hears these narrations attains all good fortune. These narrations are broadcast all over the world and are filled with spiritual power. Those who spread the message of Godhead certainly are the most munificent welfare workers. So those devotees who've dedicated themselves to spreading the glories of the Lord, they're described here as the most munificent welfare workers. So when reciting this verse, he embraced the king and said, "You are the most munificent. You are the most munificent." And it says at this point, he did not know who the king was. So he bestowed this incredible mercy on him. And it says in the purport that Mahaprabhu's mercy is so powerful that it acts automatically. If a person renders loving service to Krishna, it never goes in vain. It is recorded in a spiritual account. And in due time, it will fructify. So there's no loss or diminution. One who renders some service, devotional service to the Lord, that he'll be eternally benefited. And it will come to fruit sometime in the near future. So, it says, Prabhupada writes, that a student of Krishna consciousness must receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So this instruction is for all of us. We must receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, it says. Then his devotional service will quickly succeed. This was the case with King Prataparudra. One has to be noticed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and a little service with sincere efforts will convince the Lord that one is a proper candidate for turning home back to Godhead. At first, the king did not have a chance to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but when the Lord saw the king was serving Lord Jagannath as a menial sweeper, the mercy upon the king became a solid fact. And when he appeared in the dress of a Vaishnava and was serving the Lord did not even inquire who he was. Rather, he had compassion upon him and embraced him. So this is the nature of this. There's even in Shakespeare, I think, the quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as a gentle dew from heaven. So the Lord bestows his mercy. For a little effort on the part of a follower, he gives his full mercy. Rupa Goswami prayed, Namo Mahavananyaya, Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya. Namne Goda Vishay Nama. I offer my respectful obeisance unto the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatar, even Krishna himself, because he's bestowing freely what no one else has ever given, pure love of Krishna. Lochan Das Thakur prays, Paramakuruna Pahudhujana Nitai Goda Chandra. These two brothers, Nitai and Gora, are so kind that no one can compare to them. So, this is a special mission of Lord Chaitanya to deliver the fallen souls. It says, devotees of Krishna must persistently seek the favor and mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is a nice phrase, persistently seek the favor and mercy. That means you can't give up just because you don't get the result right away. Sometimes people become a little discouraged. They say, oh, I've been practicing for so long and I'm still not very far along. What should I do? Here it says that you must persistently seek the favor and mercy of Sri Chaitanya to be fit, to become fit to return home back to Godhead. So then finally the Lord turns to the king and says, who are you? You have done so much for me. All of a sudden you have come here and made me drink the nectar of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. And the king replied, my Lord, I am the most obedient servant of your servants. It is my ambition that you will accept me as the servant of your servants. So this is an important statement by the king. And also it's in direct harmony with Lord Chaitanya's statement that is the position of a Vaishnava, that he's the servant of the servant of the servants. And in the purport, Prabhupada writes, he said, this is the greatest achievement for a devotee, to become a servant of the servants of the Lord. Actually, no one should desire to become the direct servant of the Lord. That is not a very good idea. When Prahlad Maharaj was offered a benediction by Nrsimhadev, Prahlad rejected all kinds of material benedictions, but he prayed to become a servant of the servants of the Lord. When Dhruva Maharaj was offered a benediction by Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods, he could have asked for unlimited material opulence, but he simply asked for the benediction of becoming the servant of the servants of the Lord. Kolavecha Sridhar was a very poor man, but when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give him a benediction, he also prayed to the Lord to be allowed to remain a servant of the servants of the Lord. The conclusion is that being the servant of the servants of the Supreme Personality of God, it is the highest benediction one can desire. So this is the ultimate. If you want to pray for the ultimate, if you want, the ultimate prayer is to pray to be a servant of the servants of the Lord, according to the Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada. So, in this way, Lord Chaitanya displayed various opulences to the king and told him not to say anything about it to anyone. And he says, although within his heart, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew everything that was happening, externally, he did not disclose it, nor did he disclose that he knew he was talking with King Prachaparudra. So the devotees were so pleased when they found out how Lord Chaitanya had benedicted the king that they were all congratulating him. And Prabhupada writes a purport about how this is the characteristic of a great Vaishnava. That when something nice happens to another devotee, they're very pleased by it. And he says, unfortunately, there are many so-called Vaishnavas who become envious to see someone actually recognized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he wasn't too encouraging for people that become envious. We have the example of the Lord's compassion again with Vasudev Dutta Thakur. And Vasudev Dutta was so stricken, grief-stricken, to hear about the plight of the living beings, that he agreed, he said, he volunteered to take all the sinful reactions of all the living entities in the universe and suffer the results for those activities. And Lord Chaitanya, when he heard this, his compassion was so strongly invoked that he actually he became tearful, and he immediately granted his request that all the living beings would be delivered, because the desire of a Vaishnava, a real Vaishnava, is the Lord's heart and soul. So this compassion, this merciful nature, this is something, actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that bhakti, that devotion, flows from one congenial heart to another. So if one has bhakti in his heart, then when he comes into contact with other people, that mood of compassion and mercy, it flows out and it touches the hearts of others. So this is the nature of a Vaishnava. This is the nature of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful avatar. It says that Krishna's compassion was also exhibited when Grandfather Bhishma was on his deathbed. He was very anxious to see Krishna, and Krishna came there just to give him pleasure. And it said when Krishna saw Bhishma in that condition, lying on a bed of arrows, that actually his eyes filled up with tears to see his devotee in that condition. And it says that not only was he shedding tears, this is from the Nectar Devotion, not only was he shedding tears, he said, but he also forgot himself in his compassion. It means he forgot who he was. He just felt such strong feelings to see his devotee like this. And it says, therefore, instead of offering obeisances to Krishna directly, devotees offer obeisances to his compassionate nature. Actually, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is very difficult to approach him. But the devotees, taking advantage of his compassionate nature, which is represented by Radharani, always pray to Radharani for Krishna's compassion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appeared in the mood of Srimati Radharani, fully exhibiting that compassionate nature. So we should always approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu persistently, asking for him for his favor and his mercy. This is will be for our ultimate benefit. So, I'll just conclude with this statement. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto. He's talking about the prayers offered by Gajendra. Gajendra said, "Since an animal such as I has surrendered unto you who are supremely liberated, certainly you will release me from this dangerous position. Indeed, being extremely merciful, you incessantly try to deliver me." So just as we incessantly pray for the mercy and compassion of the Lord, He's incessantly trying to deliver us. Prabhupada writes this about the Supreme Lord. He says, His only aim, and this particularly applies to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, His only aim is to deliver us from material life. It is not that He becomes attentive to us only when we offer prayers to Him. Even before we offer our prayers, He incessantly tries to deliver us. Incessantly. So we don't incessantly beseech the Lord, but He incessantly is trying to reach us. It's kind of embarrassing, really. He says, He is never lazy in regard to our deliverance. It is the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord that He always tries to bring us back home, back to Godhead. God is liberated and He tries to make us liberated. But although He is constantly trying, we refuse to accept His instructions. It's like Lord Chaitanya's prayer. He's saying that, unfortunately, you have hundreds and millions of names, but unfortunately, I don't have any attraction. So here it says, He's constantly trying, but we refuse to accept His instructions. Nonetheless, He has not become angry. He's not become angry. Therefore, He is described here as Bhuri Karunaya, unlimitedly merciful in delivering us from this miserable material condition of life and taking us back home, back to Godhead. And from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Adi Lila, the fourth verse in the first chapter, Anarpita charing chirat kurunaya yava tir nakkalo samar paitum anodchala rasang sabhakti shriyam hari purata sundara dhyuti kadamba sandipita sada hridaya kandare shpuratu yak sachinandanaha. May the Supreme Lord, maybe you can just repeat this. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. The innermost chambers of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has appeared in the age of Kali. By His causeless mercy, to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Thank you.